Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
One of the best stories of a label and a person I've ever read. I have to say, it's just so wonderfully done and exhausted. Hello, everybody. Patrick Foster here. Thanks for tuning in to Rockin' the Suburbs. I want to welcome you on behalf of Jim Linehan. And today we're going to do something we do from time to time on this show. Regular listeners will recognize the sound of the theme music for Patrick's Book Nook. To the Book Nook. Look, we have books. And over there, another book. And right over there, it's a Kindle? And joining me today is Vasant Ramamurthy. Vasant, how are you, man?
Good. How are you? Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too. Thanks very much for coming on and making time. I appreciate that. This has to do with Vasant in a couple different ways, because when we were at Suburbs Fest, he was able to make it down. Even though he had just moved to a new house, he was able to make it down for a night to experience the glory of the live band karaoke and all that it entails at Suburbs Fest. But he also was nice enough to bring me a couple of books because you were cleaning up, right, Vasant, and had some some extra stuff that you want to kind of had already gone through, especially with music books. I know how that is. And you had, you know, texted me and asked if I had read this one, and I said, no, it looks great. And so you handed it off to me at Suburbs Fest, and then I was on my way home on the Sunday and actually had a flight delay and started reading it right there in the airport. I got through the first section and was just hooked from the beginning. The book is called The Creation Record Story, subtitled My Magpie Eyes Are Hungry for the Prize. And it's a wonderful book written by David Cavanaugh. It was actually first published in the year 2000. So it's got some age on it, Vasant, but it's neat. In one sense that it kind of ends, the story kind of ends when Alan McGee, the central figure of Creation Records, wrapped the label up the first time, right? It was sort of around, you know, that late 90s kind of time when he did that. So it works in that way. And I know Alan McGee has come back and done some other labels, including one called Pop Tones and sort of a form of Creation as well. But this really talks about, you know, the main years. And I found it so interesting, Vasant, how much music it actually touched on. I didn't realize in many cases how many different areas Creation touched on. I found that to be totally fascinating. It's not just Oasis and Jesus and the Mary Chain. There's a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. I draw a lot of parallels between Creation and a label that I know you and I are fans of in America, SST Records,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So SST has sort of had its, you know, you could say like peak years between like 84, I would say most notably with the Minutemen, Husker Du, Meat Puppets all putting out albums, Black Flag, like multiple albums. And if you look at the time frame for Creation between like, you know, 89, 90 to like 91, 92, or if you want to even go up to Oasis, it's really like when you think about British music, these are like touchstone foundational albums, which, you know, if Stephen Rutledge were here, he would definitely agree. But you're talking about like Teenage Fanclub, Bandwagon-esque, My Bloody Valentine, both their albums, Isn't Anything Loveless. You got Ride, Nowhere, you have Oasis, their albums. I mean, those are like top tier classic British albums, right? So, and the fact that they all came out on this label is pretty much amazing. So I consider like that sort of the way SST is for American indie punk rock and stuff. Creation is the same thing in England as far as British independent labels.
I love that comparison. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially for our kind of generation of listeners, right? Who hit that, right at that time. And it's really interesting in a way that you say that too, because when you read the book, and I'll tell you, it's a hefty sucker. It is not a short one. I think there are 750 some pages in this book. But it begins with Bobby Gillespie, who was Alan McGee's friend in Glasgow, and Alan McGee buying the Sex Pistols single, I think The Stranglers, Peaches maybe, and the Ramones single. And those are like the first three records. And they both decided, okay, we don't know if we like this. Then they bought the records. All of a sudden, they were absolutely evangelical, maniacal about it, from that point on. And Bobby Gillespie went on to be in Primal Scream. And what I really love about this book is, well, I love a lot of things. It's one of the best stories of a label and a person I've ever read. I have to say, it's just so wonderfully done and exhaustively researched. There's an interview or quotes with just about everybody who was alive to, to live, who lived through it. And it took some living through if you read this book. But it also really traces what an indie label was. When Creation first started, it was just kind of a gleam in Alan McGee's eye. And then, eventually they got hooked up with Rough Trade, and Rough Trade was expanding, their distribution of independent records in England. And then eventually they decided, well, how big can we get, and it, they happened to be in the right place at the right time when the right band came along, who turned out to put out two of the biggest selling albums ever released in Britain. But that being the Gallagher Brothers band. But I thought that was really fascinating, that you really got a look at how important the independent label was and what a stark divide there was, at least at the beginning in the 80s, between the indies and the majors. And I just, for a character like Jeff Travis, who ran Rough Trade Distribution and helped all these bands, it was really fascinating. And yet, the whole time, Creation seemed to be existing on this shoestring budget, and they're always in debt. And yet here they managed somehow to put out all these incredible records. So it's a story of survival in many ways, as well as an evolution of a record label.
We'll be right back.
the famous story about My Bloody Valentine, Loveless, is how
yes.
how much Kevin Shields worked in the studio on that and just spent like tons and tons of money and basically almost put the label out of business there, slaving yep. over it. And then eventually when Oasis hit is when they, you know, recouped and you know, saved the day for them. So yeah, like I guess many indie labels have that sort of story, breakthrough story. Even if you look at, I don't know if Merge was ever on the verge of bankruptcy or anything, but like I would like an Oasis succeeding for them is kind of like how the Arcade Fire yes. hit big for Merge, right? So
exactly, that's a great point. And you know, in Creation's case, Oasis came in and kind of saved everything from falling apart and made Alan McGee and a couple others, you know, some really good money, but also allowed them to put out all these other bands, you know, continue to put out all these other bands that they put out. And you think about, I mean, I knew the Super Furry Animals were on Creation. That was one of the bands that I understood, you know, was a Creation band early on, but I had no idea they were involved with some of these people. And one of the ones I found most interesting was Sugar. Bob Mould Sugar put out the Beaster album on Creation, and that did really well for Creation at the time. And I just, it was like such a meeting of the minds between Bob Mould and Alan McGee. They had this, you know, screw off kind of attitude at the time. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, I think it definitely makes sense because McGee and, for example, Kevin Shields, they were both devotees of like the American indie, you know, yes. stuff that we're talking about, like Mold, Husker Du. Shields is a big Dinosaur Jr., you know, Jay Maskus fan, and definitely influenced by them. So it definitely makes sense that that Sugar would end up on Creation. And yeah. My guess is, which I mentioned earlier, I think if Dinosaur Jr. wasn't on a major label at the time, they were on Warner at that time, but if they weren't, I would be surprised at all if, you know, if Dino happened to be on SST or some other indie label, I wouldn't be surprised if their, you know, records were put out by Creation in the UK, yeah, you know, because it's like a natural fit.
That makes sense. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Another really interesting thread of this book is exactly that, how certain records were licensed in the UK to Creation, but licensed to other places in America or other territories, and how they leveraged those deals to make money. And a lot of the money, you know, that they made, like I said, number one, went right back into making these records. But number two, also went up the noses of a lot of the employees of Creation Records. I mean, it's almost like reading about Casablanca Records in the 70s, you know. There's all this right. rampant cocaine use and all this stuff. And there are many, many funny anecdotes, and it's well worth reading. And if anybody wants to borrow the book, I'd be happy to pay it forward and pass it along to you. But one of them being the first time, you know, they met Oasis, like these two guys, these two brothers already had this rock star attitude, even though they'd only, you know, been an opening band for a few months and stuff. And when they saw that this is how Creation, you know, ran, they went into the Creation office and there were like pictures of their favorite bands all over the wall, and people were chopping up lines of cocaine on the table, and the Gallagher brothers were like, yes, this is the place for us. Like, this is how rock and roll should be.
yeah. And the cover of the book, at least the edition that you and I have, yes. is a line on a credit card, and then a picture of one of the Oasis brothers meeting Tony Blair.
Yes.
So that just sums up, we don't really understand in the US, I think, but really like how big Oasis was in the UK.
Yeah.
Like they were, I don't know, I can't think of a equivalent in the US, but I mean, you hear Oasis was an alternative rock band, right, in the US, but in the UK they were truly like a mainstream, like a, you know, U2 or like
yes.
Foo Fighters kind of level, bigger than Nirvana level, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, playing these, you know, 200 in front of 200,000 people yeah. at these outdoor shows at their peak, which is incredible. So famous that, you know, there's even a story in here how Alan McGee gets friendly with the Tony Blair government when it came in, and he was like this Svengali of, you know, entrepreneurship and entertainment.
Yeah.
He was on this committee and all this stuff, which was kind of crazy, part of the story. But the story you mentioned about Kevin Shields spending all that time in the studio creating Loveless is really an amazing story about how much money he spent, how he camped out, how he didn't communicate with anybody, didn't play anybody the tracks. None of the tracks had any names. You know, that was just totally mind-blowing. There's a memorable part in here about the first Jesus and Mary Chain concert. It like literally lasted about 10 minutes.
Right.
And alienated everybody. And
I think they had their backs to the audience or yes. something like that, right?
Yeah. And nobody even knew what they were playing. And suddenly they became the hottest thing, you know, in Britain. And all these riots were happening at their early concerts. So that part's really fascinating. But there are also really interesting tales of other bands, and I want to ask you about two of them, Vasant, kind of what you think and how you perceive them, because I didn't really know very much about either of them. The first one being Ride, very interesting guitar band. It seemed like they were introspective and worked hard and really cared about their music and wanted to do, you know, all the right stuff to stay true to the music. And I thought the story of them was incredible, but I didn't know anything about their music. How do you kind of perceive them, and how would you put them in sort of the guitar music landscape?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Ride. Their album Nowhere is basically like a classic of the genre, you know, next to My Bloody Valentine and another creation band, which would be Slow Dive Souvlaki, is another one that fits in there. Yep. But yeah, Ride Nowhere is amazing. Their follow up after that, Going Blank Again, is excellent as well. So they're definitely a key band of the whole shoegaze genre, I would say. And I'm a big fan. And since they don't have that central figure like Kevin Shields and My Bloody Valentine, I think they were able to sort of last a bit longer. They mm-hmm. you know, they made a couple albums after that, then they broke up for a while, and actually they're active again. They put out some albums in the past 10 years, one of which is pretty good from the past few years. So, you know, they're still an active band now.
Ride right there doing the song Kaleidoscope from their album Nowhere on Creation Records. And I want to thank Vasant very much for coming on and talking about this book. And guess what? There's more, people. You know, Vasant and I, when we get started talking about something we're passionate about, it can go on. No, Vasant and I thought we did pretty well. So I think we're going to be able to wrap it up in a second episode that will air tomorrow. But the book we're discussing, once again, The Creation Record Story, My Magpie Eyes Are Hungry for the Prize by David Kavanaugh. Pick it up, read it. It's giant, but you'll be very happy that you get into it. And I think if you're like me, by the time you're halfway through, you'll be like, crap, I wish this wasn't going to end soon. So it's that good. It really, really is. So yes, with that, make sure you come back tomorrow and listen to the second half of our conversation about Creation Records. We're going to start that off. I'm going to be asking Vasant about the band The Boo Radleys. Why don't we hear a little bit of their music to take us out? We will talk to you guys with part two tomorrow.
Come on. Reasons for believing in that.
How rock and roll should be.